Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have
faith. Well, all right. Praise the Lord and hello to everybody that's tuned in this far into our welcome. We welcome you to Praise Tabernacle Tuesday Night Bible Study, where we have a panel that comes together and a speaker every Tuesday night to encourage the people that will tune in and that will listen to one of our dynamic speakers. And tonight we have another dynamic speaker coming before you, and we have our panel on board. And we just want to say thank you for being with us tonight. My name is Elder Richard Lee Taylor. I'm your host. And I just want to encourage everybody to be encouraged. We know there's a lot going on in the world today, and we really need Jesus in our life. And if you don't have Jesus in your life, please get him in your life. All right? Like I said again, we just want to say welcome. Welcome, welcome. I appreciate everybody that has tuned in. And welcome my engineer, our guy that runs the radio station, our guy that runs the board at the radio station, our very own Elder Derek Oliver. We just want to say thank you, brother, for what you do. And we just want to say thank you to Elder Bluett, Minister Tolbert, Evangelist Dove Stanton, Evangelist Ricky Bluett. You know, so we just want to say thank you for everybody that's on the panel tonight, everybody that will have some input word tonight. We just want to say thank you for being on board with us here at Praise Tabernacle, where our bishop is Bishop Omar Zachary, along with his beautiful wife. We just want to thank you guys again, and we have another dynamic speaker for you tonight as we prepare to move forward into the word. Our very own Evangelist Dove Stanton. She will be your speaker tonight. And at the end of the Bible study, I'm going to ask if we can get Minister Tolbert to do the dismissal. Okay? And we just want to say thank you once again. Evangelist Dove Stanton, the floor is now yours, ma'am.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you, Elder Taylor. I appreciate that. Good evening to everyone that's on the panel tonight. Good evening to everyone that is listening to me under the sound of my voice. We just thank and praise God for each and every one of you on tonight. We don't take it lightly that you decided to join us on this Bible study. We just give God glory and honor for you. Yes. We just as Elder said, be encouraged. Be encouraged. These are some times that we are experiencing. People have suffered loss. People have suffered illness and sickness. But we know that God is still able. God is still able to supply his peace, his joy, his healing, his deliverance, his salvation. Be encouraged that God is still able, even in spite of anything and everything that you are going through. We just want to encourage you tonight. Tonight we're going to have probably more of a couch talk than a Bible study with line upon line and precept upon precept where we just stick with one scripture. Tonight I have several scriptures that we are going to dig into. So if you would, please get your Bible, your paper, and your pencil.
All right.
We do have some scriptures. And we definitely want you to go back and study these scriptures for yourself. Don't just take our word for it. But go back and study the scripture and see what God has to say to you. So while you're getting your Bible, your pencil, and your paper, I just want to pray a prayer real quick. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your joy. Father God, even in spite of anything that we may have experienced on today, we thank you, God, that we're still here. We surrender and submit ourselves unto you. I pray, Father God, that you would allow me to decrease as you increase. Father God, that somebody would be encouraged by this word, that somebody would get off the telephone on tonight, and they won't be the same as when they got on the phone. Father God, we just thank you that you would give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit that also gives wisdom in the name of Jesus. We thank you, we praise you, and we glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. In the beginning, I said tonight is going to kind of be like a couch talk. There is an old expression that came across my mind a couple of days ago, and it said, sorry about that, it said, a penny for your thoughts. So, I mean, I don't know if you've ever said to somebody, a penny for your thoughts. And basically what you're doing is you're asking them, what are they thinking of? A penny for your thoughts. So if I were to ask you that question right now, when I just made the statement, a penny for your thoughts, what would be your thoughts right now? Would you blush if you were in front of me? Because of the things that you were thinking, would you look embarrassed about what you were thinking? Maybe it was a funny story. Maybe you could have been reflecting on your day. Maybe you could be thinking of somebody, somebody maybe you want to see or somebody that you are seeing or somebody that you're going to see later. A penny for your thoughts. And when I thought about this, I went to this scripture in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. If you would please turn there, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. And like I said, tonight is going to be a couch talk, so I'm going to have several scriptures and some points that we're going to bring out. But once again, tonight is going to be about our thoughts. I want us to examine our thoughts. Now, we think, I don't even know how many thoughts a day, a million, trillion. We think so many thoughts a day. So I really want us to examine what we keep our thoughts on. a majority of the day. So Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Could you imagine the thoughts of Christ? Could you imagine the thoughts of Christ? Jesus, the Son of God, who took upon the form of man so that he could redeem man, was on this earth. He experienced loss. He saw people that were ill and sick. He saw people that were diseased. He had family members too on the earth. What would Christ's thoughts have been like? And there was two words that I came across that would probably describe a lot of his thoughts. And the two words are redemption and hope. I would imagine in the thoughts of Christ that whatever it was, that redemption and hope was always in the picture. Because if you look at his life and you examine his life and people that he got around, no matter if they were married or unmarried or if they had multiple partners, redemption and hope would always come out of the conversation. Having the mind of Christ, what do you think he would have thought? Anybody on the panel want to answer that question of having the mind of Christ?
I don't know if we can really truly know the mind of Christ,
right?
Other than what we know the word says,
right?
And I don't think that fully depicts his mind, because mm-hmm. just because of who he is,
right?
I mean, he's Christ. He knows all. He sees all. What kind of mind is that? Can you imagine as a human being who can see how he sees things and knows the things that he knows that no one else could really ever know unless you have a mind like he is?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and because we are flesh, I don't know if that's really possible.
Is it possible, Elder? That's good.
I don't know.
That's good.
I don't know.
Hello?
I mean, we... Go ahead.
Okay. Repeat the question. Repeat your
having,
question.
Having the mind of Christ... That scripture, Philippians 2 and 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And the question was, what would it be like having the mind of Christ? Now, I know we don't know his exact thoughts, but what would it be like having the mind of Christ?
The only word, it sums it up in one word. It sums it up in one word. If you have this one word, it'll cover everything, and that's love. God is love. It sums it up in that one word. If we love like we're supposed to, everything else will come easy. You are give easy. You will receive easy. You will love your enemies easy. You will love them that despitefully use you easy. If you have the mind of Christ, and if you just think of love all day, I'm going to love in spite of how people treat me, that's the mind of Christ. Love, just one word. We make it so difficult. It's nothing difficult about living Christ-like. One word is love. God is love. You can't serve two masters. Either you're going to love or you're going to hate. It's love.
Yes.
And so many believers, I don't even want to say Christians anymore, because they crucified Christ. Christians lack love.
There you go.
Believers have love. Because they believe everything this word is saying. And it starts with love. Love in spite of love until it hurts.
That's right. Amen, Evangelist. And that was, I wrote down love. And that word itself, I mean, Christ loved us.
Yeah.
So whatever his thinking was, it was because he loved us so much that he want to see us redeemed, that there's a hope, that he wants to see us saved. And he always seek to save the lost because of that love. He always shared himself very humbly because of that love. He came to be the form of a man because of that love for us, that we would be redeemed to God.
That's
so
right.
Having the mind of Christ is having that love, and what love encompasses, like I said, redemption and hope will always be in the picture. And remember, I'm talking about our thinking, because there is so much going on in this world right now, I want us to really begin, what do we think about a majority of the time? Are we thinking about everything that we're going through, or are we thinking about our loved ones that we've lost? Is this constantly on our minds? Are we thinking about the way COVID is and people getting the shot or people not getting the shot? What's the majority of our thinking? Because I really want us to try to focus in on what we're thinking about. Are we thinking about our problems and our circumstances and our situations? Is that the majority of our thinking all day long? Now, don't get me wrong. You may not focus on the word all day long, but think about the things you do think about all day long.
Well,
and I mean, for real.
I know that I'd like to add that it was just brought to my attention that, you know, a mind that stayed up on Jesus, he will keep you in perfect peace.
Yes.
You know, it says a mind that stayed up on Jesus will keep you in perfect peace. What will keep you? He will keep you in the peace that we need, regardless of what we see going on in the world around us, what we hear going on in the world around us. So our mind of Christ is having a mind that is stayed upon him. So, because we get in our flesh from time to time, because we are flesh, we are blood.
Right.
So I don't know of anybody that's so deep, so holy, so whatever they want to call themselves, that from time to time their flesh don't flare up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, kind of get in the way. Now, we minimize it, of course, because of who Christ is in our life. So, but I think that what we deal with on a daily basis, you know, really depends on what's going on around us at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it our job that we have issues with? Is it our marriage? Is it our family, a family member that we see going through certain things that we're trying to encourage? So it's just that even though we go through this world, we go through this life, we have, like you're saying, we have to have a mind like him and a mind that's going to stay up on him.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, I'd like to add something real quick. We can't give people a reason to sin, though. We can't. We might not be holier than that, but we shouldn't be sinning the same. We shouldn't be doing the same thing we was doing last year or last month. That's why I said this flesh should die daily. So, I mean, So we have to get closer every day to be like Christ. The things that ticked us off, like I said, last week or last year, we shouldn't be still getting angry over the same thing. So we should be growing and dying daily to be like Christ.
Right. We should be transformed through the word of God, through prayer, through praise, through worship, through I want to bring the scripture, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And it reads, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We have to be transformed in our mind by the word of God so that we won't be conformed to this world. See, our conversation should be different from the world's conversation. Because like I said in the beginning, redemption and hope should be in the picture. See, you know, others may be saying, "I don't see how we're going to make it." But we should be saying there's a purpose and a plan. Others may be saying, "I can't, I can't, I can't." But we should be saying we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.
That's right.
We should not be conformed to the world. And like Evangelist Bluette just said, daily we have to die to ourselves, to our flesh. Daily. It's a daily thing. It's not a one-time hit it and quit it kind of thing at all. It's a daily thing. I wrote something down about strongholds in the mind. A stronghold is a lie that Satan has established in our thinking that we believe as truth.
That's good.
A stronghold is a lie that Satan has established in our thinking that we believe as truth. Now, that could have happened when you were younger. Somebody could have said something like, "You stupid," and kept calling you that over and over again, and you begin to believe that. So that was your thinking. Somebody could have told you you were too fat one time or ugly, and you believe that, and you begin to think that that has become a stronghold in your mind. It has been established in your thinking. So I began to look at a scripture that I really wanted to bring out to kind of help us with how to bring these strongholds into obedience of Christ. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to look at verse 5. I really want the B clause of verse 5, but I'm going to read it all. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, I have heard this scripture multiple times. I really want us to look at the B clause where it says, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. But I just got it. And if you bear with me, I'm going to try to explain just how I got it. Say,
Which chapter was that again, Evangelist? I'm sorry. Which chapter was that again?
Sure. No problem. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5.
Okay.
2 Corinthians chapter 10. You're welcome. Verse 5. And like I said, if you just bear with me, I'm going to try to give it to you just like I got it. That B clause where it says, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, this is how I got it. Say I was fighting in a war. I was fighting in a war, and I'm on the battle. And the people that I'm fighting, I take one of their troop members captive. Okay, I take them captive. Then I lock them up. And I put them in a cage. And every day I go to them and I begin to talk to them. And I begin to convince them to come on my side. I begin to talk to them. I begin to talk to them and just talk to them. And I begin to convince them to come on my side. And then one day they come on my side. I have taken them captive into the obedience of Christ. They come on my side because of what I'm saying to them. So let me kind of break this down a little bit further. For example, if I have a problem that I always say about myself is, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. That's a stronghold of mine because I'm always saying I can't do it. I'm not smart enough. I'm not equipped to do it. I'm not strong enough. I can't do it. I can't just stop thinking that thought. I just can't stop thinking it. You know, somebody may say, won't you just stop thinking it? I wish I could, but I can't do it. I can't stop thinking it. Can't stop thinking it. So I'm going to bring it into captivity. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to search the scripture.
That's
and
good.
I'm going to find a scripture that will bring that thought under the obedience of Christ. So my scripture for that is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So now
that's
I
good.
Have that thought under captivity, and now I'm going to put the scripture on that thought every time I feel like I can't do it. So now I've brought it into captivity, so now I'm going to say I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, not just on Sunday morning. Every time
right.
I feel like I cannot do it, I'm going to bring it under captivity unto the obedience of Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all until I get to the point where now my thinking is I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have now brought that thought under captivity by the obedience of Christ.
That's good.
Does anyone have anything they'd like to say?
This is working for me.
Evangelist.
Yes, ma'am.
Evangelist Stanton.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm so glad that you brought that out, because God will keep letting you say what you can't do. But once you start saying, you know what, or putting forth an effort to try to do the things that you say you can't do, God will send you the help.
Yes.
I'm there. He will send you the help. I always said, I still don't know what I'm doing with my business. I don't. But by me confessing that I don't know, that gives him everything. He's in control of everything.
Yes.
So because I say I can't, I know I'm not in control of doing anything.
Right.
He started sending people to show me. Now I have no more excuses why I can't get this thing done. The stronghold is so, it's real.
Mm-hmm.
It's real.
Yes.
And when you come, when you put it in your mind that I'm not going to make no more excuses, Lord, you be with me, because I don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
You have to show me. And first you surrender.
Right.
Surrender and say, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing, but guess what? I'm willing to learn. I'm putting forth an effort to learn a computer, and I was so proud of myself the other day. And I called my husband. I was so excited because he can't teach me. He gets so frustrated because I have so many questions, and my mind goes other places. But when you confess with your mouth and you get yourself out the way, it's too many people walking around and thinking they can do everything but can't do nothing.
That's right.
But if you confess, but we're talking about the things that you say you can't do.
Right.
I couldn't use a computer. I'm deaf learning. But I'm willing, and God showed me, and he's teaching me through others that has patience, that think like me. Because everybody, teachers should be taught in different, not just book-wise. And that's what God is teaching me. He's not teaching me through the book. He's teaching me through living, and then he takes me to the book to show me in the word that I can do all things.
Right.
So we have to learn how to teach others through our lifestyles and then show them the word. Everybody don't learn from reading the Bible. Everybody don't learn and not going to learn, because I didn't learn from reading the Bible. I'm learning from life experiences. Then he takes me to the word. But when I tell you, you girl, you always own it. I love you so much. But I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Now that I've learned this computer, now I know that God is living, that this living, the word is coming alive in my life every day. He's showing me. I am the way. And the word is coming alive. It's a living word. And when I read the scriptures now, you know, it's like, wow, you kidding me? It brings a whole new meaning to what I'm reading. And I love you. I love it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you good, baby. You good.
Because,
you good.
Because you... Evangelist Stanton, you can read something, you can read a scripture, one particular scripture that you may like or, you know, find a lot of peace in and, you know very well. And every time you read it, when you go to it, it could mean something different.
Right.
And a lot of times, and that's only to you, because it just depends on what you're dealing with in your flesh or what you're going through at any particular time. So what you're saying is very good and very positive, you know. So I got somebody that want to add something real quick.
Hey, everybody. Sure. This is Sister Mel.
Hello.
Okay,
hey, Sister.
I just wanted to add that, you know, in listening to Evangelist Bluette, you know, her testimony, you know, she always had these powerful testimonies. And that the word also says, you know, it says that you can do anything in Christ Jesus, but it also tells you that, you know, you put Christ first. Mm. You put Christ first, and he'll make a way for you. He'll teach you everything you need to know. Just put him first. And that's all I have to say about that.
All right.
That's good.
I know she don't get on, but I just let her go ahead and say something, okay? So thank you, Watson, for that. That's a good note. You can go ahead, Evangelist Stanton.
Elder Blue, did you have something you would like to say?
No, not really, but I just want to say something, but I shouldn't. But, great scripture. That verse 5, it's just talking about the welfare of others when Paul was talking about let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, is care for one another. Have the humility in yourself. Have the humbleness in yourself. Because none of us, if we put all our minds together, know it all about the Bible, about what God is really saying. And we will only know when he returns, but we know the whole truth. To humble us, to the first verse of chapter 2, where it says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, my wife spoke of love earlier, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy. This is what Paul is saying. All of his epistles, all of his books to his churches that he formed was about unity, was about being on the same accord, was about loving each other, looking out for the interests of others before you even look out for the interests of yourself.
Yourself, right.
I think days and times that we're in now, everybody is trying to, I guess, get over or stand out, the social media issues that we have, or look at me first. Paul was against all of that, and we should be too.
Right.
We should look out for one another, because look out for one another, make that person good, guess what? God makes us good so that we can be encouraged to help somebody else. So that's the mind of Christ, to help somebody, right? So that second verse,
amen.
My joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And Paul stated this to all the churches that he formed in Asia. He stated this. That was one of his number two things. The first thing was to introduce them to the grace of God, right, and to accept Jesus Christ in their life. And the second thing was unity. And we're lacking a lot of unity right now. And think about it. When you really think about it, it can make you very sorrowful. It can make you, it can actually bring tears to your eyes on how people treat people. But that's the Christ-like mind that Paul is talking about. And as my wife stated, it starts with love. And love covers everything.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
You know, and I believe that's why, you know, you have these cults in the world today that are so effective in drawing people. Because with the one word that stood out to me that Elder Bluett said was unity. Because they find unity in these places.
Right.
Whether it's wrong or not, but to them it may not be wrong, but because people are looking for something to be a part of,
that's
going to show them love, that's going to show them affection, that's going to show them attention, you know, and I believe that's why these cults are so effective, because they're showing unity, and they're showing that how they're together on everything, you know, where the body of Christ could be lacking in certain areas. You know, because everybody is not having the mind of Christ Jesus. Everybody is having the mind of, not everybody, but some people are having their minds of, look at me. Look at me, as Elder Blue has stated. Look at me, look at me, look at me, you know. So I believe that as a body of Christ throughout the whole world, if we could come together in unity with love and affection towards one another, as the scripture says, you know, I think we could become more effective in how we operate in and throughout the world by drawing other people to the body of Christ.
Right.
Because our minds are like, are becoming more and more like his. Now, like Elder Blue S said, if you put all these minds together, we still won't be where Jesus is. But we have a goal set before us, and that when he comes back for his body, for his people, then we will be, you know, at that point to where we really, really need to be in him. We'll be more and more Christ-like as we've ever been before, you know. So, but up until that point, I think that, you know, that's what we should strive for, is having a mind of Christ Jesus to be able to draw other people unto him. You know, so
that's good, and that being humble, having that humility spirit, and loving, and being the body, and I like to put it this way sometimes, as far as the body of Christ. Say I hit my toe on the corner of my bed, immediately my hands go down to comfort my toe.
Yeah.
My hands don't say, fool, you should have been watching where you were going. My hands don't say that. My hands, they immediately go down to comfort my toe. Now, my mouth may say something else a little different, depending on how hard I hit my toe. But that's how the body works. We have different parts of the body. We have the arm. We have the hands. We have the feet. We have the legs. We have different parts of the body, and we're supposed to function as a body. But like you said, too often, and especially in this day and time, too often we have the body of Christ walking around looking disfigured.
That's good. I like that.
Looking disfigured. Because we got the hands trying to be where the feet go. And we're supposed to be the body of Christ. But the body is looking disfigured. Because
the body's looking just like the world, too.
Right.
People can't tell the difference.
That's why it's looking so disfigured, Elder. Because it's trying to look like the world instead of what God has called us to look like. The world is disfigured. The world is walking around with their hands sticking out of their neck. The world is walking around with their thigh sticking out of their foot. The body of Christ should not look like the world because of our thinking. Because of jealousy, because of envy.
Right.
We should not look like the world because of our thinking. Our thinking is supposed to be that of Christ. We're supposed to seek the lost and minister to the lost. We're supposed to pray for each other. We're supposed to encourage each other in the Word of God. We're supposed to bring wise counsel. We're supposed to use wisdom, not just our own fleshly thoughts. What does the Word of God say about it? That's how you're going to bring it under captivity and obedience to the Word of God. You've got to put the Word on it. You've got to put the Word on it. And even in your everyday life, when you're tired, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Instead of always saying, I'm tired, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Instead of saying, I can't make it, yes, you can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God has equipped you. God has given you the wisdom and the knowledge. And like Evangelist said, even if you don't have it in your pocket, he'll bring other people in that have it to work with you because they're a part of the body.
Right. And they
Our thinking, right, we need to bring our thinking under subjection. We need to. Now, one thought is not going to build a stronghold. But if you constantly thinking it, come on. Sometimes, a thought may come into your mind. Okay, you cast it down. You'd be like, oh, I don't know why I'm thinking that. You cast it down. It's gone. But when you begin to build strongholds, when you begin to constantly think about it, you are starting to establish a stronghold, and you need to bring it under subjection under the word of God. You need to search the scriptures and begin to say that. One time I can remember right when I was getting ready to get married, and I went to go try on my wedding dress, and I was standing in the fitting room, and I was looking in the mirror, and I said to the young lady, I said to her, I know this is going to sound strange to you, but I could just hear all kind of things women were saying about themselves who stood in that same mirror, who would try on their wedding dresses. I could just hear women say, oh, I'm too fat, or oh, I'm too ugly, or my arms are too big, or I got too much back fat. I mean, I could just hear it when they were trying on their dresses. They weren't saying anything like, he chose me just as I am.
The way you are. Yeah.
Right. He chose me. He loves me for me. It was like I didn't hear any of that. I just heard all these things. And she said, that is so strange you said that, because a lot of times women come in for a fitting, that's the exact thing that they are saying about themselves, that they're too fat, they're too this, they're too that. We have got to start putting something else on it. You are fearfully and wonderfully made.
That's good.
You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are the daughter of the Most High God. And I know maybe everybody that goes in there are not saved, because it takes salvation to speak life. Come on. To speak life. It takes a heart transformation first.
Yes.
And then that mind transformation follows. That heart transformation in Christ has to happen first. That's why Christ came to seek and save the lost. That's
right.
Why he gave his life for us, so that we can have that transformation. That's why Christ died for every single one of us, so that we could be redeemed, so that we could get our minds better than what they are today, that we don't have to soak in doubt, that we don't have to walk and live in fear, that we don't have to worry if we don't have, because he is going to provide for us.
Yes.
Our minds, our thoughts. I really want us to just examine, what is it that we keep our minds on constantly? What is it that we keep our thoughts on constantly? And if you are battling with a stronghold, search it in the Word of God. Send us an email. We have an email. Say you don't know where to go in the Word. Send us an email.
Yes.
Send us an email to our
ptc4christ@gmail.com. Let us know what it is that you're battling with in your mind. We will search the scripture for you. We won't give you opinion. We're going to give you what the word of God says. We're going to give
That's
you
right.
scriptures. And you can
That's
read
right.
and study those scriptures, and God will bring them scriptures to life. To life for you, so that you can walk in a sound mind, so that you can walk with peace, so that you can walk with joy, so that you can be strengthened each and every day, so that you know that Jehovah Jireh is your provider, that God will provide for you, that he is the healer, that he is the deliverer, that he is he will set you free, he will make you whole. If you don't know where to go for this in the word of God for anything that has been plaguing your mind, send us an email. We will bring those scriptures up to you and for you and pray with you and believe with you that God will yes. renew your mind. Does
That's
anyone
right.
else have anything that they would like to say?
That's a good word.
Well,
good
I would
word.
Like, real quick, when I'm going through different little things, I Google the word in the Bible. It's there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's there. We Google everything else.
Right.
Google is your best friend. If you want to come out of what you're going through or whatever, my husband will tell you, I have affirmations on my mirror. And one of them is, I am a businesswoman.
Right.
I am smart.
Mm-hmm.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And
That's
I put
right.
those affirmations up there to remind me that I'm as smart as I want to be. I
mm-hmm.
chose not to learn different things. Now I'm pushed into it. So I was always reminded either God will either draw you or drag you.
Hmm.
Learn while you can.
Yes.
Get an understanding. Learn everything that you can. And that's why I'm 55 years old, and I'm just now getting it. But guess what? It's never too late as long as you make it
right.
up in your mind that you want to get it.
Right.
Now I want business. Now I want to be like like-minded people, that business women, Christian women, that love God and is successful. And if you're not successful, come anyway. Because we that are successful black women, we're going to teach others.
Right.
And when I tell you, once you make up your mind that you're going to live for Christ, I'll live, for Christ, I'll die, I'm there. And
yeah.
I want to learn everything, not just business. I'm talking about God's business. Because this is his business. This is kingdom building, what I do. My business is kingdom building. And as long as I'm doing his work, he's going to, and once you put up makeup in your mind that your business is his, he, when I tell you, from day one, my husband will tell you, I still don't know, but God is sending people that knows and showing me
right.
how. Just make up in your mind. I can
That's
do all
right.
things. Just, if you don't remember no other scripture, remember that one. And once you get that, once you get it in your spirit, I can do all things. I've never
Amen.
Struggled with, you know, how I look or my weight or my hair or nothing like that. But it's always been, am I smart enough? Can I can't retain information.
Hmm.
But guess what? At
yes,
55, I'm just now learning how to retain.
Well, yes,
I can be
you can do all things. yes.
My mind shouldn't be sharp right now. I should be losing, you know, lose a lot of thoughts. I do lose a lot of thoughts, but he's renewing the things that I should know and taking away the stuff
yes,
that I didn't.
Right. That's right. That's right.
Once you make up in your mind, this is what you're going to do, you know, don't hesitate. Because God is going to, God, I promise you, he will be a light unto your path, a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. You just have to make up in your mind. I promise you. If he did it for
right.
me, he would do it for anybody. I encourage
That's
you.
Right.
If you don't get no other scripture, I can do all things through Christ. Whether it's picking up the Bible, reading it, and just or putting down the spoon, saying that I'm not going to eat this, or your weight, your hair, whatever.
Right.
Just do it. And stop making excuses on top of the promise. I'm making excuses on top
excuses
of the promise.
On top of the evidence, yeah.
The evidence.
Yes. Amen. I just wanted to, before I turn it back over to Elder Taylor, once again, just we were talking about your thoughts and your mind, and I used the scripture Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And some of the attributes and characteristics of Christ, we already said, is love. And that's one of the most huge thing is love, loving others, loving yourself, love your family, love to see others come to know Christ, because that's very important, love others to come to know Christ. Humility, Christ was very humble, very humble. It's not about us. It's not about us. It's not all about you. Patient, being patient with people. Faith, having faith that God can do it. Hope, that there is a hope. There's hope for you. There's hope for your lost loved ones to be saved. Don't give up on them. Don't give up on them. Christ did not give up on us. He didn't give up on us. Don't give up on your loved ones that are not saved yet. Keep praying. Keep rejoicing. Keep thanking God. Just thank them that they will be saved. Thank them. Redemption. We should love to see the lost saved and come to know Christ. Think about how you felt when you came to Christ. That overwhelming love that you felt from him that compelled you to want to know him more. And other people should see that even in us. They should
yeah.
see that joy upon our face.
Yeah. Yeah.
They should see that. They should be like, wow, what is it that you got?
Yeah, exactly.
They should say, I want some of that.
Yeah.
I want some of that. I see, you know, that joy on your face, that glow in you. What is it? And then we can share with others Christ.
And they can even know that you got major issues going on in your life.
Right.
But they still see the positive side that you're always coming forth with. You're always speaking forth with positive things. Even though you could be going mm-hmm. through something that's traumatic on you, whether it be with a family member or specifically
right.
with you in your body, you know,
right.
but they always see the positive coming forth. And that's a mind that's in Christ Jesus. It's having
that's
a mind
right.
like Christ Jesus, you know.
That's
and,
right.
and they always see that, and they really don't ever see anything any different. And so now they're curious in their mind as to know as to, hey sis, hey bruh, you know, I understand you got some things going on, but you always seem to be in a positive mood. You always seem
right.
to, you know, be, you know, happy and joyful and peaceful with everything. And I know that if I was going through what you was going through, I don't know if I can handle. And that's a perfect segue for you to jump
it
right
is.
In.
It is.
And say,
it is.
What makes you who you are? Who
right.
makes you what you are? That'd be a perfect segue. And that's why it's so important that we always show that, that the attitude, that humility, that redemption of Jesus Christ
right.
that he's given us so that we can draw others and so we can have others want to know why are we so different?
That's
what makes
right.
you so different? And what makes me
That's
different
right.
is Jesus Christ.
Is Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So that to that I would say a penny for your thoughts, and I'll turn it back over to you, Elder Taylor.
All right, Evangelist Stanton, we sure do appreciate the word tonight that you brought forth, and we enjoyed it. I know I did, and I really thank you for the effort and the energy that you brought forth tonight and that you put into our couch talk, our Bible study. And I just want to say thank you again and to our panel, that everybody that has some input tonight. I thank you for those great words of encouragement that you brought forth tonight. And everybody that may be tuned in tonight, stay encouraged. Be encouraged. A mind that, you know, keep a mind like Jesus. Let's try. And it has to be competitive. I mean, it has to be repetitive. I mean, you got to do it over and over again so that your body becomes accustomed to doing it. So we just want to encourage everybody. We love you from Praise Tabernacle Church. And we're going to ask Elder Bluette, if he's still on, if he could dismiss us tonight.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Surprised you, huh? I said,
I was another scripture tonight, but we'll go ahead and dismiss.
We'll go ahead with the scripture if you need to.
No. Let's just go. No. Let's go ahead and I was going to talk about, you know, when it says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, how we as subordinates of our leader, our pastor, can he send one of us, you know, to go talk to somebody? Can he send one of us to go preach at another church? You know, can we have the same mind as Christ and not the envy that is in us that takes over to bring our own self-recognition, you know. So we got to stop thinking about who we are and have the mind of Christ, who he was, to enlighten somebody, to help somebody, as I was saying earlier
Amen.
About looking out for the interests of others. And I
Amen.
Think that's the mindset we need to be in this day and age. The government right now is giving out a lot of money. Counties are giving out a lot of money. And we have to be careful of what we reach for. And we say we have the mind of Christ and that we should be sufficient in what we have even in him. So we got to be careful right now in how we extend our church to other people, how we resemble our pastor to other people. So we have to be careful and have the mind of Christ that everybody needs help that God would put in our path. So we have to be very, very careful and not quick to speak, but quick to listen and then speak what God gives you for a person. So we have to humble ourselves. Christ had that humbleness. He had that humbleness. He would always ask, what do you want me to do? When he already knew it, see? And we don't have that mindset that we already know. He had the mindset that he already knew what you needed, but he wanted to be humble and ask you to have a conversation. See? We prevent conversations a lot. We really do. Because we always got something to say. We have to humble ourselves and listen. And then you will truly have something to say. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's the mind of Christ. So, Father God, we thank you for this setting. We thank you for being encouraged by our teacher tonight, by the panel tonight. I pray that somebody took something away that would change at least a thought in their mind, that they can change something, react differently, and react to the needs of others. I thank you for giving us life, health, and strength at this hour of the day when so many things are going on, so much bad news coming our way. But God, you are seeing fit, yes, that we are still here, and we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Death is so near. But Father God, the blood of Jesus is on the door of our house, the door of our hearts, that when you see the blood, yes, Lord, when you see the blood, you'll pass over and not let the death angel have any strength against your anointing. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we thank you. Before, yes, Lord.
Thank
yes,
you,
Lord.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Thank you.
We haven't seen or even heard of what's going on right now. But, Lord, we believe in and trust in your word. That
yes,
if we believe
Lord.
In your son, Jesus Christ, we are protected. Through
thank
all
you,
hurt,
Jesus.
Harm, and pain. Keep your angels in. Keep your angels to surround us every day.
Yes,
as we
Lord.
Sleep tonight, keep your angel above us to protect us from things we can't even see or hear while we sleep. Wake
yes.
us in the morning to a new day, to a new mercy that you create every day, that we can live in your will, that we can do your will, and that we can have the mind of Christ to treat everybody right. No matter if it's our enemy from years ago, if we have the mind of Christ, we can ask them, what do you need? What can I do? Just have that state of mind. Great lesson tonight. And Father God, we thank you in the name of Jesus. And before ending, before we depart, we always read these scriptures in our church, in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, where it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Thank you for joining us tonight. Hope you got something. And please join us next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Tuesday on 7 p.m. for another Bible study. Amen.
Amen. God bless you and good night.